the Literary Corner Black Writers of the World.
The world was choked in wet embrace of serpent spawn awaiting Ajantala's rebel birth monster child, wrestling pachyderms of myth, Orinsala, Orimila, Esu, Efa were all assembled, defeated in the quest to fraternize man. Wordlessly, he rose, sought knowledge in the hills. Ogun, the lone one, saw it all, the secret veins of matter and the cycling loads. Sargon's spent thunderbolt served him a hammerhead. His fingers touched Earth's core and it yielded. To think a mere plague of finite chaos stood between the gods and man. He made a mesh of elements from stone or fire in air fruit, the worlds of energies. He made an anvil of peaks and kneaded red clay for his mold. In his hand, the weapon gleamed, born of primal mechanics. And this pledge he gave the heavens. I will clear a path to man. May we celebrate the stray electron, defiant of patterns. Celebrate the splitting of the gods' canonization of a strong hand of a slave who set the rock in revolution. All hail Saint Atunda, first revolutionary grand iconoclast at Genesis.
Excerpts from the writings of Wole Soyinka. Today on the Literary Corner, you'll hear Professor Jonathan Peters discuss Soyinka's life and works. Professor Peters resides at the University of Maryland in the Department of African American Studies. Peters is an expert on African literature and culture, having as his major work A Dance of Masks, Singoa Achebe Soyinka. Peters is known for his outstanding work on Wole Soyinka. And now the interview with Professor Jonathan Peters on Wole Soyinka.
Wole Soyinka started writing drama around about 1960. I think he probably started in 1959. It's curious that he had started with short stories, but in 1960 he wrote his first major play, which was called A Dance of the Forests, and it was designed to celebrate Nigerian independence. Nigeria became independent in 1960, and Soyinka is a Yoruba from Western Nigeria. He's written several plays in this since then, some short plays, but since 1965 he's tended to write major plays, full-length plays, that is, except for one play, I think, which is a sequel to his The Trials of Brother Jero, and he calls this Jero's Metamorphosis, I think it's the title of it. He's written plays, as you indicate, and that's his major forte, but he's also written fiction, and he's written poetry. Poetry, I think, may have been a first love, but with dramas, you know, you reach a wider audience.
Yes. Now, how does Soyinka compare with some of the other major writers, African writers, for example, Achebe and Senghor, Aimé Césaire, etc.?
Well, Soyinka is primarily a dramatist, and I believe there is no question at all that he's the foremost dramatist in Africa, in Black Africa today. He's written about a dozen or more plays just off the cuff, and in this is unparalleled, not just in quantity, of course, but also in quality, because he's a writer who has evolved over the years. It's difficult, I think, to make a comparison between a poet and a dramatist, and Senghor is a poet, or a poet and a novelist, and Achebe is a novelist. But in fact, I did make this attempt in the study I wrote on the three writers. I think that they all have their strengths, they have major interests, which are not, I think, to a large extent identical. And so there are differences in their approaches. Achebe is an excellent novelist. I don't think Soyinka is a good novelist in that sense, because his ideas tend to come across in the kind of complex way his poetic images come in the in the poetry, so it's not as accessible as one might want novels to be.
Now, you're talking about his projection of images and themes, maybe.
Yes.
What are some of the major themes he develops in his writing, and does he project these themes in all the genres in which he works?
To a large extent, yes. I think it's interesting to look at the major ideas that Soyinka has developed, at least from my perspective, especially when one is talking for an American audience. It's difficult sometimes even for Africans to understand some of Soyinka's position, but if we understand some of the philosophical ideas and the cultural ideas that he has, I think it makes it very easy to understand what he's doing. I would put these ideas under a number of categories. One is his view of history. He sees history in terms of a cyclical pattern, that there is a cycle of history, and that this history is a repetition more of violence than it is of creativity, although he does see life in a creative, destructive pattern, but there has been an emphasis towards violence in human affairs. And also, and this is very, very important when dealing with non-African audience, he does not see the culprits as European men, as the whites over there, but he sees this as a basic tenet of human nature, that we have a proclivity towards evil, and that this is what we see in history. It's not the glamorized pictures that we see in history that is represented, but really, you might say that for Soyinka, the record of history is a catalog of the wars of mankind, where from one generation to another we exploit people. That is the way he has looked at society, as a social visionary.
Okay. Now, you've done extensive studies and analyses of his many works. Is there one thing in particular that you found exceptionally exciting or exceptionally interesting as it compares to other writers that I've talked about, or anything that really you find remarkable?
Well, I like so many things about Wole Soyinka that it's very hard to pinpoint on one. But I like the way he has made use of the African concept of time. There's the idea that in Western civilization and culture now, that time is linear. Mm-hmm. You move from today to tomorrow, and time moves along that phrase, and you can go back and pinpoint the year 1000 and the year and the year 2000 and the year 450 BC, mm-hmm. in the sense that time is something which moves in a chronological fashion. Mm-hmm. In African concepts, the idea is that time zones, as it were, exist contemporaneously at the same time. The past, though past, is still here. Mm-hmm. The present is here, and the future is already somewhere in the making. Mm-hmm. So that you can move from one area to the other. And this is one of the most interesting ideas that Soyinka has developed, the idea that all of these phases exist already, and there's a special ritual that you have to perform to cross the barrier from present life, for instance, to go into the past, mm-hmm. and to cross that barrier to go into the future. So that idea of time, I think, is very, very interesting. Because we find that there are 2/3 of the world's people, for instance, believe in the idea of reincarnation, that people will be born again. And Soyinka explores this idea, the idea of death, rebirth, again and again, mm-hmm. In terms of reincarnation. He uses a concept called the Abiku child, the belief of the Yoruba that a child can be born, die, and be reborn to the same family. So that's the idea of reincarnation. And he uses this Abiku child as a metaphor mm-hmm. of this cycle of violence, because the child is born, before it can move to maturity, it dies. And there's that kind of pattern which we see in life. That's a very interesting concept. And I think this is a way in which a creative writer has used very, very, very imaginatively mm-hmm. something which comes from the matrix of culture. Yes. Religion and philosophy of his people. And I think it destroys, if that myth still needs to be destroyed, the myth that Africans had no culture, no philosophy, no religion, until the white man came to them and brought his own religion and culture.
You've been listening to Jonathan Peters discuss the life and works of Ole Soyinka. Now an opportunity to hear readings of Soyinka's work. Here's Jonathan Peters reading from Soyinka's Congi's Harvest.
From Soyinka's play Congi's Harvest, and it reads, "This is the last our feet shall speak to feet of the dead, and the unborn cling to the hem of our robes. We thought the tune obeyed us to the soul, but the drums are newly shaped, and stiff arms strain on stubborn crooks, so delve with the left foot for ill luck, with the left again for ill luck, once more for with the left alone, for disaster is the only certainty we know." Notice the suggestion about disaster, which Soyinka is always talking about.
The violence.
The idea of violence, the idea of tragedy, that a lot of tragedy exists in life. Mm-hmm. And this is because Soyinka saw what was happening to Africa after independence. Instead of establishing a program that would help all of Africa's peoples, leaders got themselves entrenched into power and were doing the very, very same thing that the former masters did.
Yes.
The whole situation in Africa was one which made Soyinka feel very, very pessimistic, and therefore his work from, say, the road on seems to be very, very pessimistic, sometimes nihilistic, and downright atheistic at times.
Yeah.
And the prognosis that he'd made, the ideas that he had suggested about the disaster which would ensue because the same cycle, the same pattern of repetition would follow, was, in fact, fulfilled. Nigeria, his country, became involved in a civil war.
Of course.
In the Nigeria-Biafran War, and Soyinka himself became a prisoner and was imprisoned using trumped-up charges which were never formally presented to keep him in prison during most of the length of the war until he was released.
But he's released now and he's writing again.
He's released now and he's writing again. And my feeling is, I've read his most recent works, my feeling is that in his works now there is a movement beyond that nihilism. And therefore he's projecting visions, I believe at this point, of an Africa changing but still the same. Of an Africa that has a lot of potential for development. Of an Africa where peoples and cultures intermingle, interface with each other. And that hopefully there will be a change, because Soyinka believes, against the principle of Yoruba cosmology, which does not see a change in the pattern, Soyinka believes that there is the possibility for a change in that cycle of violence, and that man can redeem himself from this repetitive cycle and forge ahead in new directions.
You've been listening to an interview on the life and works of Ole Soyinka with Jonathan Peters of the University of Maryland. This has been the Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World. Technical assistance provided by Bob Cham. I'm Brooks Robinson. The Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.